Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
The Dave Clever Show is sponsored by the Michaels Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
All right, back in on DGS on a Wednesday. Dave, Rach, and Andrew out. Just me hanging out for the next 40 minutes or so. Pelicans basketball pregame is 2:45 today, 3 o'clock for the opening tip as they take on St. Joe's over at Chaffetz Arena. And then after the game's over, Rush Hour Sports with yours truly and Matt Pauly will go with whatever time we have. So if they're done at 5, we'll be going at 5. If it's 5:15, 5:30, you get the idea. So whatever the basketball game is done, we'll have some Rush Hour Sports taking you up until 6 o'clock. Really quick, I got a couple of things I want to get to, but I saw this Go to Sleep just texted in on the chat. Said, so people are just casually paying witches to cast spells in 2025. He said, I was just listening to the news. Yeah, people think that that's a thing. In 2025. Kind of goes back to the topic last hour that I'm not going to revisit. But you would think at some point we would kind of move past some of those things. Michael Calhoun, you got an update on the witches?
Well,
Let's get your mic up.
I'm not an expert on this by any means.
You did read the story, though.
I introduced the story from our CBS News illustrious correspondent corps, and apparently Etsy has banned outright buying of spells.
Oh!
So it has to be listed as an entertainment service.
I gotcha. So that was the news item.
That was the
because I know there was a thing for a while. There was the joking. We I know with on DGS here we've joked about the Etsy witches and that people were they enchanted items or whatever.
I didn't know about that. As the report said, they're even hiring it. Make sure it doesn't rain on wedding day, stuff like that.
I know it's 2020.
Why didn't we think of this before?
I don't know why. Why am I not in this business? I could just say I'm doing these things and charge people money for it. Why am I not doing that?
You've got your spell book, right?
I can just make one up because it's all made up anyway. If it was real, witches would run the world.
How do you know they right? don't?
Oh, no. You just blew my mind, Michael Calhoun. What if they are and now I'm in trouble? Well, Happy New Year. Good luck.
Like I said, that was the business desk on New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
so.
That was good stuff. Thanks for the update on that. All right. Well, I know what I'm doing in 2026. I'm going to become, I guess I can't become an Etsy witch now based on that news, but I can try to sell some stuff. Yeah, it's funny. I heard that too. Go to Sleep was messaging us about that story in the news. I had heard it too, and I did it. My head went, bleh. I did the Scooby-Doo thing. You're like, bleh? Wait a minute. We actually think we have to ban this? I mean, I think they should ban it. Not because it's actually doing anything, but because it's a form of fraud. You're taking advantage of people who think your spell is going to change something. But Michael Calhoun just blew my mind. Because, right, if witches had the power to make people behave a certain way or influence things to happen with the weather or with a job or whatever, wouldn't they be in charge? And then that whole, well, what if they are? Like, oh, no. If they're in charge, I'm in trouble because I've been making fun of this for years. Damn it. I knew I shouldn't have said that stuff. Well, count me as someone that says, no, not going to believe it. I'm also not the person that believes in superstitions like you got to sit on your special place on the couch or your team is going to lose, like that kind of stuff. Like I am, if you're watching on the stream, you can see I'm wearing my Miami Hurricanes jersey. This is actually like a 22, 23-year-old jersey. It's from the last national championship team, which was 2001 season, 2002 January bowl game. So literally, this is, 23-year-old, 20, why am I bad at math? 23 to 24 year old jersey. I'm wearing that right now, but I'm wearing it for funsies. I'm not wearing it because I think it's going to increase my team's chance of winning games. Like, I always do this kind of, like, I wear a jersey or, you know, you wear a band shirt to a concert or whatever. Like, you're doing that just because it's fun. It kind of gets you into the mindset of having a good time. And it's, you know, you're showing your colors. You're letting people know this is my team and that's my team, or this is my favorite band, whatever. I'm into all of that. But I certainly don't believe that my actions are impacting the outcome of tonight's game. Because you could bet if the outcome of games came down to my ability to have the discipline to sit in a certain spot on the couch and not move, we'd win every time. My guys would never lose. Oh, man. Yeah, 2025. We still have witches? Allegedly. And I don't even like to make fun of too many things, because, like, when it comes to, like, real discoveries, you know, new species, like, you know, Dave's a Bigfoot guy. I don't write off any of that, because it's not about a magical beast. It's not about something that we've seen no evidence of. It's a species that has not been documented, and we know that we discover those all the time, on land and in water. So yeah, that's a different thing to me than, like, I can say words and sprinkle some fairy dust and now I'm going to change the course of someone's life. Are you? It's just this bizarre. Isn't it bizarre? Like, you're in 2025. You have the whole world at your fingertips, just sitting there in your pocket and your phone. You've got, and they're not real. I'm going to call them what they're named, but you got the AI chatbots, but they're not really AI yet. I don't think you're artificial intelligence until you're actually intelligent, and intelligent implies cognition of some kind. They're great search engines, though, and they really do a pretty good job, and they're getting better at doing things like seeking out more specific information than you would get in a normal search engine search. So to me, they're kind of juiced up search engines at the moment. And I'm talking about publicly available stuff. I'm not talking about anything that's on the front, you know, the frontier of scientific discovery. I'm just talking about the stuff that's publicly available. AI, we have all of this ability to get information, to sort things out, and yet we still are loaded with superstitions. And there's a doctor that I see a lot on TikTok. Yes, I'm on the TikTok, who is constantly debunking, like, people with their health claims. Like, if you do this to your water, you're going to make your water better and more easily absorbed. He's like, no, you're not. It's just water. It's not any different than it was before you did the thing that you said you were doing. But people believe a lot of stuff because it's sold by people who sound convincing. And we still have in 2025 doubts. Now, we only have 2025 for a little while, but here we are entering 2026. And we still have people who think the earth is flat and cannot be convinced. Photographs don't count, I guess. Nor do, as we discussed earlier, basic mathematical structures like measuring shadows and angles and curvature of shadows. Like, well, this is not hard. I mean, the people that were around more than 2,000 years ago figured it out, and yet today we still have doubt. Well, I guess the best way to look at it is this. If there's a way to make money off a really bad idea, someone has found it and they have made money off it. Because that's really it. Does it matter if any of these things are real or not? Because the people that are pushing them are getting what they want, which is engagement, and the engagement gets them money. And, you know, when you get back to it, the idea of conspiratorial mindset, where it's always like, well, what if this is this and what if this is that? What if it's just as simple as the people pushing everything make money from other people clicking on it, and they don't care if it's actually real? They might just be doing it as a grift because they know there's money in it and people buy it. That's the most obvious conspiracy theory, right? Why are people pushing bad information? Because they get paid to do it. They make money by doing it. You don't get paid a lot by just talking about what's real, unless you have a really special talent for it. Anyway, thank you for pointing that out. Go to sleep. Michael Calhoun, thank you for clearing it up. and also for scaring me and thinking that the witches might be in charge. Stick around. We got a little bit more. Half hour left on DGS. Billiken's basketball starting at 2:45. And then Rush Hour Sports following Billiken's basketball here on KMLX.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
All right, DGS on a Wednesday, man, that's almost like my Frankenstein, because I couldn't say Frankenstein for some reason when we were talking movies a few weeks back. This is the last one of the year. Coming up on Friday, we get the band back together here on DGS. Next week, obviously, back to normal. And then a little bit later this hour, we've got Billiken's basketball. So 2:45 pregame, 3 o'clock opening tip with Billiken's hosting St. Joe's. Then we got Rush Hour Sports after that. So in a few minutes, I want to do a quick Cardinals topic to wrap up the year. And it'd just be a look at 2026 and a quick update on a couple of things from The Athletic. Will Salmon and Katie Wu had a story today on The Athletic, which is some updated. It's not really that big of a thing, but some updates on Brendan Donovan as an example, things like that. So I'll mix that in the next segment. I wanted to get to a quick thing here because this, honest to God, man, we will, as a society, we will do anything but address a real problem head on. So I'm on Twitter last night, and I use a lot of different websites to gather information, things we might want to talk about on the show or whatever. And I'm on Twitter a lot because, you know, I follow tons of sports accounts and, you know, things like that. I don't like the Twitterverse. I think it's gone kind of stupid with the lack of, you know, moderation of fake news. And, you know, it's just that. But overall, it's an interesting thing to look at because you'll see trends. You'll see what people are talking about. Whether it's sensible, nonsense, or it's sensible, whatever it is, it's there. Last night I saw hashtag tax strike, which is exactly what you think it is. If you're just hearing the words tax strike, it's a whole bunch of people on Twitter saying, I'm fed up with whatever thing they're fed up with relation to government spending, and I'm just not going to pay my taxes this year. And to that I say, good luck to you. Let me know how that goes after the IRS comes calling. Why are there so many people encouraging other people to jeopardize themselves? I get the idea, right? We're tired of this and we need to take a stand. So we're going to take a stand on this and we're just not going to pay our taxes. Guys, it's the dumbest idea. Because number one, you're just creating problems for yourself. Two, you're not addressing the root cause of the problems that you see. I don't think this is a difficult thing. And I'll go back to what we hear when we talk to our friends, Michael Kelly and John Hancock, when it comes to the political process. You don't need to go on a tax strike if you're upset with government spending, if you're upset with fraud and waste, if you're upset with how things are going. You don't need to break the law to do that. You know what we all need to do? And I say we, I'm including myself. I'm not separating myself from this. We need to get our lazy asses off the couch. And we need to participate in primaries. That's it. It's that simple. We just need to do our jobs. But we don't. The people in charge know that we don't. So they just keep taking advantage. So if you don't like government waste and government spending and you don't like how things are run, you could do something about that. I could. You can vote in primaries and vote out people that aren't doing the right job and choose people that you that will make the pledge to you that they're going to do the job you want. But we don't do it. It's the obvious solution to every problem that we complain about with the government. All we need to do is participate. You know the lottery slogan, right? You can't win if you don't play. Guess what? It's the same way with voting. It's the same way with your government. If you don't play the game, you can't win. You can do all the dumb things you want to do on social media. You can tax strike or whatever. Protest. All you need to do is your job. Our job is to participate at every level of the election process. But we can't even get half of us to vote in a presidential election year. And it's, what, 30% in a midterm? And I think the numbers that we've heard from, like, Kurt Barr, who runs the elections in St. Charles County, to from Hancock and Kelly, you can look these up. It's information that's out there. It's like 10% of people participate in primaries. Well, if we don't like what our representatives are doing, we can choose new ones. The mechanism is there. But we don't. And everyone who is in charge knows that we don't. So they have no fear of us. And your hashtag tax strike isn't going to do a damn thing. You're just going to get a bunch of people in trouble that are going to do something stupid. And then it's going to end up biting them in the ass. Instead of just doing the most basic thing, it's boring. But, you know, a lot of times, this is a truth. If you're looking to achieve something, can be changes in how the government works, can be an improvement in your career, can be a fitness goal, can be something in sports. There's only one way to reach those things. And it is consistent, hard work. Boring, day in, day out, do the work. Why do you think the professional athletes are what they are? Why do you think the elite musicians are what they are? It's not magic. They didn't have a shortcut, although, you know, we found some of those pharmaceutical shortcuts not that long ago. But generally speaking, it's because, yes, there's natural ability, but natural ability without work doesn't mean anything. It's the day-to-day. It's the pitcher who throws pitches in a bullpen that mean the same to him as when he's pitching in a game. It's getting in the weight room at 6 o'clock in the morning and doing all the work you need to do to make sure you can. And again, apply it to make any analogy you want. The grind is boring, but the grind is what works. And we as a country, we don't grind when it comes to our politics. We'd rather just yell. We'd rather start hashtags and make noise online than grind and do the simple basic thing, which is participate. That's it. And by the way, when I talk about putting in time, how much time do you need to put in to vote in primaries? I've voted in primaries. I've never had to wait. You just walk right in because nobody's there. And even if you had to wait, oh, okay, well, we'll take an hour or two. But if we put that time in, maybe down the road a little ways, we can have less waste and less fraud. We can have better tax laws that are beneficial to everyone. But you can't have any of that with hashtags. You can't have any of that with just yelling on social media or making a funny little TikTok. There's one way to do it, and that's to do the grind. And that means participate in the system in numbers bigger than 10%. But hey, I guess it's a lot easier. I know, you know, technology makes a lot of things easier. It's a lot easier to complain than it is to fix a thing. And again, believe me, I'll tell you this. I'm as guilty of that as anybody when it comes to a lot of different things. I'd rather get mad about it than learn how to fix it. In this case, though, to learn how to fix it's not that hard. Go online, see when the primaries are, when election years roll around. Participate in those. For mayor, for your state representatives, your state senators, your national, your House of Representatives, your senators, you can do all of this stuff, the local and federal level. and it's not that much time. But we don't. So we get what we put in. Garbage in, garbage out. I've been told that my entire life with sports and training and all that, and it's absolutely true in politics. All right, stick around. One more segment, then we turn you over to Billiken's basketball here on KMOX. Back in on DGS, just me today. Dave and Rach and Andrew will be back Friday, and then all of us again back together. I mean, I'll be there on Friday also. But then next week, we'll just kind of be back to business as usual, rolling into 2026. So Billiken's basketball starting up in about 10 minutes with the pregame. Top of the hour for the opening tip with the Billiken's taking on St. Joseph's at Chaffetz Arena. And then when that's over, Matt Pauley and I will have Rush Hour Sports. It'll just be a matter of when we start, because we'll wrap up at 6 o'clock tonight. And then I know what I'll be doing, which is watching college football starting at 6:30. Even though the broadcast time says 6:30 and it'll probably start at 6:40 because they're stupid and I hate them and I hate when they do that. When you say this is the start time, let's start at that time, please. Thank you. I don't need an extra 10 minutes of more stuff. Just get the game going. All right, just a quick thing on the cards to wrap it up for 2025. You know, it's been an interesting calendar year for the Cardinals. You know, this time last year, they were committing to a runway year, right? They were looking ahead saying, okay, we're not blocking some of our younger players. We're going to give them some runway. But they were also trying to do it kind of under the guise of still, quote unquote, trying to compete. And I would say that it had mixed results in 2025. Like, there were some really great things that we found out about the Cardinals, and there were some things that we didn't get enough answers on. I'll start with the things we didn't get enough of the right answer, maybe that's the way to put it. We didn't get the right answers on guys like Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman, Victor Scott. You know, those guys all struggled pretty badly. Gorman less so than the other two. He was at least close to average for a lot of the year. But, these are guys you're looking at for more than average. Right? These are guys that you're looking at to be high-quality players. It was a disappointing year for Lars Nootbaar. He had the most at-bats he's had in a single season and just didn't have a good year, didn't slug. The slug went away. Clearly that could be a result of the heel injuries that he was dealing with, and he had the surgery for us. I mean, but it was still disappointing. We did not get enough good answers there. And certainly we didn't get enough quality answers on the pitching side when it came to starting pitching, right? If you're looking at the positive development, I mean, the downside of it, right? You had Sonny Gray, and he was good, by the way. He's very good, very solid for you. Nothing bad there, but you had a setback for Andre Pallante, bad year with Miles Mikolas, and a refusal by the team with Mikolas and Fetty struggling as badly as they did for most of the year, the refusal by the team to alter the game plan, to use an opener maybe in front of them, to change things up a little bit. Their refusal to do that, to me, set back a lot of the runway year. Some of that had to do with some young pitchers being hurt and not ready, right? Like Quinn Matthews having some shoulder problems and then really big control issues for a while. You know, that might have been why you had to stick with it, but we didn't get enough of Michael McGreevy, although we got a decent amount. We could have used more of him because there was a long period of time where he was out pitching the other guys and still not getting to pitch. In the major leagues, that is. We found out some good things about Matt Swanson and Riley O'Brien, right? Riley O'Brien, when he's healthy, is a very effective reliever. He did a very nice job. And Swanson was a major development as a guy that can be a late-inning bullpen guy. Kyle Leahy was a major development as a quality late-inning reliever, but a guy that might start for you. Although I think that a likelihood of that is less now with the players they've added. Doesn't mean it's not possible. So the runway was good for those guys. It was good for Matthew Liberatore. It was good for McGreevy. Not good enough. It could have been better for McGreevy. He could have had 20, 25 starts instead of 16. But Leahy, Swanson, O'Brien, those guys all turned into potentially solid guys moving into the long term. You know, Mason Winn was the best shortstop defensive shortstop in baseball. Positive thing. The offense wasn't good enough, but I think some of that was playing hurt too. But you learned a lot of good things about Alec Burleson. you got to see that Ivan Herrera is really legitimate hitter. Like, he's the real deal as a bat. So the runway season, like I said, was mixed. Now we're moving away from a runway. We are clearly full on retool, rebuild. You know, I've been thinking about it a lot because, duh, this is what I do. I think about baseball. I think a lot of us, I'll just talk about myself specifically. I didn't think that they should have done a rebuild 2 years ago, and now I look at it and I was wrong. It's hard to argue in hindsight. In real time, you're like, look, this team contends. That's what they do. They have the means to do it. They have the desire to do it. They should do it. And we had criticisms about how they were doing it. Like, you're spending too much money on back end of the rotation players. And of course, your top dogs declined faster than you would have hoped. But the reality is, this is needed. The talent infusion, the youth infusion, getting back to a place where you're supplying your own inexpensive starting pitchers at the bottom of the rotation, right? The back of your rotation should never be made up of people that are making $10, $12 million a year. Not unless you're the Dodgers or the Yankees. Those teams can do that. Nobody else really can. There's like five teams, maybe six teams, that can afford a $10 million, $12 million fifth starter. But even those teams would prefer not to do that. This is where you want the younger guys to be stepping in. And that's what this team now has. You have the players. Do you have a future ace? To be determined. You don't have one on the major league roster right now. Maybe that's Liam Doyle, but we really haven't seen much of him yet. He's got that talent, though, right? Big lefty that throws 100 miles an hour. He's got the kind of physical ability that might lead you to that end. And maybe, you know, I think it's a lot of high expectation for Quinn Matthews. I don't think people view him as a potential one. So maybe you do, maybe you don't have a future ace. But what you will have with all of these arms coming in here is a base to build your rotation around. You can either build it with depth, like five quality guys and no ace, or you can eventually acquire an ace, trade for one. Maybe one of these guys takes that leap. Maybe it's Liam Doyle. And becomes your centerpiece. And you've got to find that same thing on offense now. Because that's where the Cardinals, I think, are, whether you're talking majors or minor leagues right now, your depth is pretty good. You've got a lot of complementary players. You've got a lot of solid regulars. Or future regulars. And what we have to figure out is whether or not you have any stars. Is J.J. Weatherholt a star? I think he is. But we haven't seen him, so we can't say it with any certainty. Maybe Raniel Rodriguez is a bat like that. You know, he's got crazy power for a guy as young as he is, but he's going to be a bit. Is Joshua Baez a late-blooming possible star? We'll see him this year at some point in the outfield. I don't know about early in the year, but we will. I think this will be a more fun year than last year. It's kind of what I wanted to wrap it up on. Is I think this will be a more fun year than last year because you're finally committed. You're not riding the fence. You're not doing it partway. You're not leaning towards or leaning on aging, older, declining, poor-performing players. And you're opening the door for all of the guys with the upside and potential to show what they have. Some will not make it to that level. Others will. And to me, seeing that is a lot more fun than seeing old guys struggle.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.